This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Welcome to Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and today's special guest, Captain David Sadecki, Public Information Officer of the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Welcome to the Table Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Chief, let's talk about putting your best foot forward and how that relates to today's Public Information Officer, Public Affairs Officer.
Well, I'll introduce a word that you probably don't read in too many IFSTA manuals, and it's called transparency. Today, a modern fire department is not an invisible phenomenon. Almost everything we do is up to public scrutiny, and the reputation, which we've talked about in previous columns. We talked about things like when you engage in behaviors that cause embarrassment to your department, there's a consequence and so forth. And in one of the earlier discussions, we talked about marketing a fire department, branding and positioning yourself. And from my perspective as a fire chief, I think that the idea of us putting our best foot forward with the public is something we cannot treat as just an accidental function. It's something you got to do on purpose. Mm-hmm. You got to have a way of doing it. And you not only have a way of doing it, you have some people who are capable of doing it.
So at the fire chief's level where you sat, how important was the public information officer?
Well, put it to you this way. The public information officer then either make you or break you, depending on how well they represent you.
Very good. And David, you're the public information officer for Santa Barbara County. How long have you been doing that? And
I've been doing it for about 4.5 years. I was a firefighter on the floor for 28 years, and I kind of needed a change, and so here I am.
So what all does the job require from you as the PIO itself? You're the guy on the camera. What all does that require?
Well, besides just being on the camera, I have to gather the information prior to being on the camera. A lot of it has to, I rely a lot on my knowledge and experience that I've gained through 32 years of being a firefighter. That really helps a lot. But my job is to get the story, get the facts, and get it to the public or the media as quickly as possible, but also be vetted and be reliable as far as the source.
Now, when you were an engine captain, how much importance did you put on the public information officer?
Not as much as I do now, of course. I mean, the job then is to whatever problem is out there is to fix it. Mm-hmm. As a public information officer, I'm listening to what's going on as the folks are fixing the problem, as I would call it. And then I'm just relaying the information. My job's great. I get to talk about firefighters and the great job that they do.
Well, we've talked on other table talks about reputation management, crisis management, how to manage incidents where they start to get out of control or they kind of mission creep or whatever it is that starts to happen. And that's where the fire chief and the public information officer really gets the control. How do you take that on, Chief?
Well, from my point of view as a fire chief, having a public information officer means that you have somebody who is a trusted member of your staff who can best represent the point of view of both the chief and the organization itself. The way I look at the public information officer is they represent the best perspective on the organization, but they're not self-serving. I'll use this as an example. If I walked up to a press release and said, I'm the chief of XYZ Fire Department, and I think we're doing a fantastic job, people go, oh, really? Right? You got to say that because you're the chief. On the other hand, if the PIO characterizes how well things have gone and is accurate and has all the right kinds of information, they do a better job representing me than I do representing me. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's my job is to get that information, try to highlight the good parts that the firefighters or the good work that the firefighters are doing or have done, and then relay that to the media. It would be difficult for the chief to get out there and say that because they expect him to do that. But for me as a firefighter, I've got my turnout coat on, I've got my helmet on, I'm in front of the camera, and I'm talking about basically what we're doing.
So from the fire chief's point of view, this is probably one of your greater, more important things because it's about the marketing of the department. And we don't need marketing by selling product as much as selling your image, selling your worth, selling your value to the community.
And I'd use one other word, building relationships with the community. We haven't had a chance to really discuss Santa Barbara County per se, but I've been around a lot of big organizations. As a matter of fact, I kind of tell a war story. As one of my earliest contacts with the Los Angeles City Fire Department, the guy who was the PIO there eventually became a fire chief up in Washington State. The guy's name was Pete Lucarelli. I don't know if you've ever heard that name before. But one of the things I learned in working with him was the fact that a lot of your work as a PIO has to do with building good relationships with the radio, the print, and the television media. And I think that is something that requires, it's almost like working in a garden. You got to be pulling weeds all the time. How much of your time is devoted to building those relationships, for example, Richard?
Well, that's really important. I have to have those contacts. They have to be able to rely on me to get them the information, because the ultimate goal is to get the information out to the public. So I use the media to help me get that message out. Another thing that's important, I find, for me, is to have the good contacts with the firefighters in the station, and namely the battalion chiefs also, because they're the ones that I'm going to go to when I get on scene, and I need that information. I'm going to have a lot of it because I'm listening to the radio, I'm writing things down. So when I get on scene, I'm going to get to that command post, I'm going to confirm the information that I have, and then I'm going to start releasing it. But yeah, you're right. Relationships are important. I'm a member of a group that that's basically what we do, is we meet once a month, and we talk to those people. So they know me, I know them, I feel comfortable with them, and I trust them.
Well, at the FEMA Advanced Public Information Officer class, they talk about what happened, what does it mean to me, and what are you doing about it? Or, translate another way, how are you making it go away? Those are the big three. And I think that's true of most everything in all organizations. What happened, what are you doing, and how are you making it go away? And so, but that varies within different levels of a structure, and it depends on the unfolding dynamics of, say, well, we take the Westex fertilizer explosion, which started off as a simple call, and then all of a sudden becomes an international calamity almost instantly. How do you deal with that kind of thing? Is it from the chief's point of view?
Well, the one thing I was going to point out, and great having an opportunity to talk to someone who's actually doing it, is that not every fire department can afford a PIO. I think we all agree to that. I mean, usually it's a major metropolitan. But that doesn't mean that you can't have access to a PIO, because the PIOs are also kind of a function of kind of a mutual aid arrangement. Do you ever find yourself sometimes working on an incident, for example, that other agencies are involved in, and yet you're kind of representing them too?
That does happen a lot. That's something that we've worked on a lot since I've taken this job. In our area, we have a operational area that includes many different jurisdictions, the state, federal, and then local areas. And because I am a full-time PIO, and I'm the one that kind of answers the phone in this area, the other jurisdictions have allowed me to respond to their calls and then release information on their behalf until they can get a representative or their own PIOs in place. And so that might be 12 hours later, like on a major vegetation fire. But it's one of those things we're talking about, building relationships. I've built that trust in the operational area, and they've allowed me to release that information, because the ultimate goal is to get the information to the public.
Well, those relationships have to be built up with a variety of different groups. Not only do you have to do it with your fellow PIOs, but you have to do it with the fire chiefs and the police chiefs and the sheriffs and the public health officers. They've all got to build this trust that you can represent their interest and to their advantage. Because you're right, Chief Coleman, not everybody can afford a PIO, but you're better off, I would suggest, not having a PIO or public affairs officer at all than having a bad one.
I agree with that.
And how many times have we seen even professional, large-scale organizations have somebody on the camera who is not necessarily representing the best interest of their department, their personnel, or even public safety as a whole? I think of Katrina as being a great example of people getting on the camera for the sake of getting on the camera and absolutely destroying people's reputations, unintentionally as it may be, but that did occur.
I have two images in my mind that have to do with PIOs that I'm kind of curious about what your reaction would be to them. One of them is the fact that all too often on major emergencies, the public information function becomes a law enforcement function rather than fire. I've gone to a lot of incidents where it says, in the background, emergency workers are doing such and such, and it's a law enforcement PIO. Whereas by having this within the fire service, we have a better representation in front of the media. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I know a lot of our incidents, there is a law component, and it has to do usually with road closures and evacuations. We work very well with our local law enforcement folks. But yeah, I agree that, yeah, if it's a fire department issue or call, there should be a firefighter standing in front of the camera giving out information. There was a fire down in the Los Angeles area about a month ago, and there was a sheriff that was releasing information about fire stuff. And I just didn't think that was appropriate, because as a firefighter, I would never release information about what the law enforcement people are doing. So everybody talks about staying in your lane, and I think that's a prime example of that. You need to stay in your lane. And I think that the public wants to hear fire stuff from a fire guy. They want to hear law stuff from a police officer. And so I think that's just the natural way of doing it.
Well, it builds credibility. And in turn, you don't know what the questions are going to be from the media pool. And you want to be in a position where you can give a clear and concise answer without stumbling or hesitating, or I have to get back to you on that, and which may be the appropriate answer depending on what the question is, but you want to keep things smooth.
Well, back when I was first a fire chief, I took a journalism class from a guy from the LA Times, and he asked me why I was taking the class. I said, well, I'm a fire chief, and you know, I periodically have to appear on the media and so forth. And he said, I'm going to give you a couple of ground rules to live by. I said, what are they? He said, number one is never lie, because they'll catch you in it sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is don't ever bluff, because you're always wrong. Number three is if you don't know the answer to something, keep your mouth shut. What do you think of those ideas?
Those are all really good, and that's probably at the top of my list. The number one advice I would give to somebody before they're going to get on camera is ask the person what they're going to ask you. What questions are you going to ask me? That gives you a little chance to think about some things. You can also highlight or ask the reporter, hey, why don't you ask me about this? Because these are things that I want to highlight. It took 45 minutes to extricate this person from the vehicle. Oh, wow, it did. Yeah, and by the way, we use this new set of hydraulic tools to do it. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit. So I look at the interviews as a way for them to get me talking. And so it's my job to get the message out how I want to get it out. And I also have to do it kind of quickly and briefly in about a 12 to 15 second soundbite that they can use on the news.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've done here locally with our PIO group, we've actually gotten very organized about this since 2004 at the Gaviota fire, is that we have the speaking points for all the major public safety and government organizations. So that includes law, police, EMS, public health, public utilities, public transportation, the university. We have all of the primary ones. So a public information officer can highlight those bullets for other organizations if it's applicable. So like a chemical spill that relates to public health or schools, we got the bullets for the schools, those kind of things, which then allows you as the PIO to take control of the interview subconsciously, that you're getting your message out as well as somebody else's, which they only want 3 to 5 minutes worth of audio anyway. So if you can choreograph what it is they're going to get, it makes things a lot quicker and easier.
I'm really intrigued by the use of your word soundbite, because that's a vocabulary word that didn't exist 20 years ago, I don't think. Anyway, the word soundbite's kind of new. And I'm curious from your point of view is what best prepared you in your background to do the job you're doing right now?
I would say being a firefighter for 28 years before I took this job. My knowledge and experience, I think, really helped me a lot. I also took a journalism class in college. Another thing I did is I took two classes. Mike and I actually took both of these classes together. It was the S-203 and the S-403. Those are both 40-hour classes. They were taught by a longtime public information officer here in Santa Barbara County, Charlie Johnson. He had 30 years of really good experience that he brought. Those things really helped me. And I think you have to really want to do it. It's not an easy job. It can be uncomfortable sometimes, but it's been a fantastic job for me. I really like it.
I like the fact that you mentioned some of the courses that are available out there. Because, see, those are fits our concept. We were talking earlier, Mike, about the difference between training and education.
Mm-hmm.
See, that kind of a class is not part of an education experience. It's you have to go seek that out. The class I took was called Reporting Public Affairs, which was part of my bachelor's degree program. And I would never have found that class without looking for it. Mm-hmm. You just doesn't fall off the list that easily.
Well, a class that I would highly recommend is FEMA's E388, Advanced Public Information right. Officer, back at Emmitsburg. Both Dave and I have taken that, too. That's an outstanding class. You actually get down into the Joint Information Center mechanics under stress.
Yeah. And I have one more question for you as a PIO. Do you have to do a lot of work in terms of writing press releases?
I do. That's one of my the things that I actually really enjoy. I get to do a lot of writing, and my writing skills have gone up dramatically. One of the things that I noticed in doing this job is that I've had to develop a kind of a style of writing, and I do that. I use those in my press releases. I also use that when I do my on-camera interviews. That I have a way that I kind of go through things and I hit certain things. But yeah, the writing part of it has been great. I learned how to through one of the classes that I've taken how to write a proper press release. Also, I try to include photos, and so that's another thing that's kind of a great thing about the job is I've gotten kind of into the photography part of it. And so if I attach a photo to my press release, it seems to go a lot further.
Well, you know, I noticed the way that you do it works very well because while they don't do it verbatim, what you give the newsprint actually is what they work with. They're not making anything up. So the ongoing problem of them versus us, public safety versus media, if you will, of what we give them versus what they print, you eliminate a lot of that possible problem because you're giving it to them in a way that they can digest it.
I have another PIO question. Helmet on or helmet off?
Helmet on, always. No baseball caps.
No baseball caps.
No sunglasses.
And no sunglasses.
No sunglasses. But you know, you brought up a good point. I've always tried to look like a firefighter when I've been on scene. So even though I have a white shirt and tie on and slacks right now, if I go to a structure fire call, I'm going to change into turnout gear, and I'm going to look like every other firefighter out there. And I think that's important to the media. It's important to the public. But I think it's more important to the firefighters as well. Hey, that guy's one of us. He's not just some guy in the office that comes out every once in a while.
Well, I didn't ask that question to be facetious because it actually has to do with branding. I read a study one time that the firefighter helmet is one of the most easily identified symbols of authority in our society. Yeah, even law enforcement doesn't have quite that level of acceptance. If you see the profile of a helmet, modern or traditional, it means fire service.
I agree 100%. You know, our uniforms, dark blue uniforms with a badge, we can look like a cop. But as soon as you put that helmet on, you're a firefighter. And I try to do that as much as I can. If I'm doing an interview out in front of the headquarters, I won't. But I've actually been pulling away from a scene. I've had the news media come up. They're like, hey, can you do a quick interview? Sure. And so I got out of my car, and I started putting my jacket and my helmet back on. And they're all, oh, no, you don't have to do that. I said, yes, I do. This is what I do. This is how I do it. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, we just had a local speaker here in Santa Barbara for our PIO group from CNN News, and he talked about the importance of looking your part. Mm-hmm. Firemen need to be firemen. Policemen need to be policemen. Public health people need to look like physicians and nurses and stuff like that because it not only does it make better television, but it makes for visual credibility.
One of the war stories I would tell in regard to this is the fact that I actually saw a press release one time done by a quote-unquote fire authority wearing wedgies and Bermuda shorts and a T-shirt standing in the forefront of a hazardous material spill. And he was expressing the fact that he was the local fire authority, and he came across as being Bozo the Clown because there was no imagery there that was consistent with the professionalism we're trying to characterize.
Well, you know, you bring up an important part of the PIO's job, in that the cameras that people have today, whether they be on their cell phones or their professional media folks, they're taking pictures of your incident scene. And some of those pictures can be rather unflattering, where people are out of their protective equipment, they're not dressed properly, they're not doing certain things the way that maybe they should be. Those pictures can come back to haunt you, and it's the PIO that can catch those things in advance and say, hey, go get your helmet, or hey, maybe you need to do this or that.
I'd like to ask Richard another question. It has to do with what we just talked about in one of the other ones, and that is, as a PIO, when something really negative happens to your department, what's your role? In other words, something bad happens.
Well, my role, I think, is to anticipate questions. And so I'm going to try to get the answers to the questions before the question's even asked. And I want to know what our department's stance is going to be on this. It's happened a couple times already, and so I met with my fire chief and said, okay, this is what I think is going to happen. It's my job to let him know what I think people are talking about. And I can kind of find some things out by reading blogs, by reading some of the other things that are out there that people are asking. I said, Chief, we're going to have questions about this. We need to be prepared to answer those questions. So it's basically, you know, kind of doing your homework.
We're up to the end of this segment. Any closing thoughts, Dave, regarding PIOs?
No, thanks for having me out here. I hope that my comments are able to help some of the other folks that are out there that are public information officers. I really enjoy my job. I have a great boss, so it's been a lot of fun.
And Chief, any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, in keeping with our theme, I said at the outset of this, let's put our best foot forward instead of getting kicked in the butt.
And with that thought, that's the end of Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman. I'm your host, Mike Williams. Want to extend a thanks to the captain and crew of Santa Barbara County Fire Station 11 and Public Information Officer Captain Dave Sadecki. And until next time, let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it, because it does.
Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.